Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Ann Cheek, and this is my show, Say What? When? Where? And most importantly, why? I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. I'm going to be talking about breast cancer tonight, but it's going to seem maybe like I'm going all the way around the world and back because this subject is so big. It is as big as the world. In this country alone this year, 1 in 8 women will have breast cancer. There will be 32,340 new cases, and 39,600 women will die from breast cancer this year. And after 39 years of women having mammograms, the incidence of breast disease continues to rise because it's just now a fact that all screening does is reveal smaller and smaller cancers from which many women undergo treatment when, in fact, none of these cancers would have ever killed them or even harmed them at all. It's just that cancer is the biggest medical money-making machine in this country. Without cancer, most of our hospitals would have to close. Because we all have cancer in our body at some time or another. But our body knows exactly what to do about it. Because our body has a fantastic immune system that will generate an action to rid our body of anything that is not according to the divine blueprint for that body. And then even if you're not to the point where you only have the divine blueprint working in each of your cells, and only the divine blueprint for your health and well-being remains, still, your immune system is working for you and doing what it knows how to do best, which is to protect you and keep you healthy. And if indeed you have cleared out all of the cells of your body from all of that stuff that can get clogged in there, and only the divine blueprint for your health and well-being remains, then you have the best possible condition there is to keep from having breast cancer. And if you'll listen all the way to the end of my show tonight, I am going to have a special meditation for you by Dr. Deepak Chopra, which will help you clear out all the things in your cells and will get you into that state of only working with the perfect divine blueprint for your body. Now, it's also a well-known fact that breastfeeding your child definitely reduces your risk of having breast and ovarian cancer. And it's also a well-known fact that breast milk is the best possible way to give your child the best possible start in life, as only breast milk is the perfect combination of protein, fat, carbohydrates, and vitamins, and it contains specific antibodies to protect your specific child from disease. And leukocytes, which are living cells like stem cells to make whatever the baby needs, and enzymes and hormones that formula just simply doesn't have. I mean, it just simply doesn't. But I'm getting kind of off track here and getting ahead of myself. So I wanted to start by telling you a story I heard on the radio this week while I was driving my car. And this story upset me so much, I had to pull over to a safe place and sit there for a few minutes to compose myself before I tried to drive again. It's a story that, to me, is worse than that story about the 12-year-old autistic boy who disappeared in Menifee, California, and the whole town of Menifee turned out to hunt for him. You know, all the law enforcement, the firefighters, all the neighborhood folks, all searching for this young and tender, innocent boy, only to find out that his older brother had killed him and buried him in a shallow grave right there on the family's property while the mother was out gallivanting until about 1 a.m. in the morning, leaving that older teenage son to care for that fragile younger brother. He obviously didn't care for him at all. He hated him enough to kill him. And if that story wasn't enough to cause your hormones to flow in an outrage, then listen to this other story and see how you react to it. I actually couldn't continue to drive after I heard it. A young couple had called in to a self-help radio program with this problem. They had had a child. Now, the problem is they both work, and the woman's mother had been taking care of the baby for free. Well, now the woman's father has been transferred in his job, and so the woman's mother can't take care of the baby anymore because they're moving away. So the couple looked into daycare. Oh, woe is me. They have learned that daycare is going to cost them 80% of the amount of money that the mother of the baby makes. Oh, dear, my. What to do? And they asked this question of the self-help counselor like it was just the worst thing in the world that daycare is so expensive. Like that's what's really wrong here? Daycare is too expensive? Well, if that's where we are in our society today, let's just look at that part of the problem first. Daycare is so expensive. Well, what are you paying for here? You are now going to pay someone else to take care of this precious life that has been brought to you from God, to love your child and supply it all of its needs, to change its diapers, to hold and love your child when it is sick, and when it is getting its teeth, and when it needs to be held and to loved, and to feed your child, and to teach your child everything. You know, mothers in the animal kingdom hold their infants all the time. They have them with them all the time. They are constantly tending to their needs and seeing that they are totally taken care of. And as a human mother who's supposed to be more evolved than the animals, you are now going to pay someone else to do this, to take care of your child just the way that you would take care of him or her? Well, I guess that would be a perfect scenario. However, let's look at the truth here. First of all, there are no educational requirements to be a daycare worker. And secondly, daycare centers mostly have part-time people working there who work irregular hours. Your child now has different people every day with different smells, different ways of touching, different ways of speaking, different ideas about childcare, about life in general, and who are mostly probably texting on their phone or thinking about what they're going to be doing when they get off work. Because this is not a person who's thinking in terms of being a mother. This is a person who has a job and is doing a job. And although many daycare workers express fulfillment to do their job because they believe they are helping people, it's still a job to them. The mother factor is not there. Now, there are over 1.3 million daycare workers in this country with the prospects of a 20% increase this year, as there is more and more demand for this kind of worker, as more and more women are choosing to pursue a career, as somewhere along the way we have just lost the notion that being a mother was a full-time career. Many women today just don't feel it's important to be a stay-at-home mom. So as a daycare center, however, your child does not have a mother. They have a person who has a job as a daycare worker, taking care of your child, because actually there's no satisfactory way to provide a substitute for a mother. You can provide a substitute teacher, but I firmly believe there's no way to provide a substitute for a mother. Do you know actually the breast milk that a mother produces for her child is organically specific for that child? There's an undefinable bond between this particular mother and this particular child. Contracts have been made. The union is spiritual. It involves the entire life stream of one soul with another soul. And this relationship is a mandatory basic foundation for the life of the baby to be able to grow and mature and become an adult. A mother provides the basic first introduction to the life of a child apart from the womb. The child has its first experiences with life, interacting with all of those around him or her, learning respect, attention, boundaries, acceptance, laughter, accomplishment, nourishment, learning language and social skills and manners and how to share and take turns and love and be loved. No daycare worker can do this like a child's mother would. So what we're seeing today is a whole generation who does not have a mother, but is being raised by a daycare worker. So back to the couple who called into the radio show for help. Okay, so first of all, the counselor asked the father of the baby what he would like for his child. And the father said, "Well, I wish my wife could stay home and raise my child for me." And he said this so wistfully, like he was looking at this situation from far, far away, wishing and wishing and wishing. And he also said it like a man who was already defeated, because as apparently he has a woman for his wife who has expectations about being provided for that are beyond his ability to provide. And this has to strike right at the heart of his manhood. The man is programmed to be the provider, the hunter-gatherer. He goes forth in great energy to produce the sustenance for his family. But if he has a woman who isn't satisfied with him as a husband and a provider, then he's already emasculated and defeated. And I heard this in the voice of this man. He could hardly get the words out. He was talking through such a veil of tears and disappointment and dismay at these circumstances. And then the counselor asked the woman what she would like for her child. Well, the woman just immediately began to speak in a forceful, masculine way of defense. As she said, "Well, of course, the best scenario would be for me to stay home and take care of my own child. But I have a career which would be greatly diminished in the long term, and perhaps I would even lose my position altogether if I took time out right now to stay home to take care of my child." Well, it was at this point that I had to pull my car over and park because I was so upset. I just couldn't listen anymore. I didn't even find out what this woman's important career was. What difference does it make? I just wanted to scream at this woman. "Then if it's a career you want, lady, then have your career. Why in the world did you have a child? If what you want is a career, if your career is so important, then have your career. Have your wonderful career. Climb that corporate ladder. Prove to the world that you're as good as a man. Make that money. Live in your big house and drive that expensive car. Carry your Prada purse and count your money, Miss Midas. But for God's sake, don't have a child. Don't be a mother because it seems you don't even have a mother gene. Don't take that precious soul from the heavenly realms of pure love and throw it to the wolves, tossing it to and fro in daycare centers and preschools and after-school programs. I wanted to send social services right out there to her home and get that child out of that terrible place where it'll never be loved and cared for properly, where it'll just be a statistic on the rolls of the daycare center and preschools and kindergartens and after-school activity centers, just be a name on a list of being either present or absent. I just couldn't believe we had gotten to this place today where the importance of the life of a precious child was secondary to a woman's career, and just how awful it was that the daycare system in our country is too expensive. So what does this have to do with breast cancer? Everything. I could hear in the voice of this woman the biological guilt. She first of all very defensively said, of course, the perfect scenario would be for me to stay home and take care of my own child. And this conflict trauma already has put a blip on her brain in a place that's attached to her breast, and she will get breast cancer. Her defensiveness is because deep in the complex combination of genes in this woman, which started with a Y chromosome because she is a woman, there is that primordial urge to have a child and be a mother. The genetics of sex determination is extremely complicated, and we're not going to go into any of that here. But simply said, the man has the XY chromosome, and the woman has the X chromosome. And the XY chromosome will develop male genitalia and a male brain, and the Y chromosome will develop a female reproductive system with ovaries and breasts and a womb and a female brain. And according to the exhaustive studies of Dr. Luann Brizendine, who's the chair of psychiatry at the University of California in San Francisco, the male and the female brain are very, very, very different. And additionally, the female creation has a menses biological rhythm that continues her whole life, both before menstruation and after menstruation, with hormonal production at all of these different stages of the menses cycle. Women are very different from men. We are different in every way, in the way we think, and in the way we instinctively act and perform as a creature. And when a woman sets out purposely to pursue a career in her early life before having children, she's setting up a path that is contrary to her biological makeup, and she will have her biological makeup providing resistance all along the way, associated with inner guilt and shame, which will put a blip on her female brain that is connected to her reproductive system somewhere, and most probably the breast. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not against women being educated and getting a college education. But I think a woman must make a decision about whether she's going to be a mother or not. Because being a mother is a full-time career. It's a different career than being a lawyer or a doctor or a policewoman or a teacher. And every woman who is having sex is at risk of getting pregnant, whether she uses birth control or not. And, of course, we all know that birth control has not caused the incidence of bastard children being born to be lowered. In fact, in this sexually permissive times, more babies are being born today as a result of just sex and not as a result of a man and a woman planning to have a child together and to raise that child with all of its basic needs being met. Because when the U.S. government set up the Aid to Dependent Children program, it just unwittingly created a system for single women to actually earn a living by having illegitimate children. And the idea behind this program was that it was better for a mother to raise her own child. So if the woman didn't have a husband, then the government paid her to stay home and take care of her child. Well, perhaps in these days of most women working today, either at a career or to add a second income to the family, we need to reevaluate the Aid to Dependent Children program and just eliminate it. And I think we need to look at this problem of women just working to help provide the basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter for the family. What has caused this need for the woman to work? This is a separate issue than a woman who desires to have a career. as a woman who wants to have a career, has made a definite choice to go that route. And that woman should make that decision with the idea she's not going to have children. And this woman will have a high risk of getting breast cancer. But a woman who just works to help supply the needs of the household is a woman who has some form of primordial deprivation in her past. And a woman who works just to supply the needs of the household, who also has a child who is taken to grandma or to daycare, is really at risk for breast cancer. She has a double whammy working against her. So the primordial deprivation from her past, and now the guilt of not taking care of her child. You know, the career woman is a new breed today. This woman that wants to beat out the man, who wants to rule the man. This woman who wants to prove she can be as good as a man. It really isn't a question about being as good as. I mean, we are totally different. How can you be as good as something that you're not even closely related to? That's an oxymoron. So all of this equal pay for equal work and women wanting to run companies and carry guns and go to war are people who I believe are gender confused, and they need counseling. I know a man who runs a big department for a national company, and he frankly admits that he cannot deal with his women managers like he would with a male manager. He says if he gets tough with them, they cry. He hates having women managers. They upset the balance. He believes they keep the company from being able to address situations, get to the bottom of the problem, and solve it. And having women in the trenches at war is an absolute disaster in the making. We are not robots. And in the crisis situation, men and women are created to act and react totally differently. What we have to know and understand is that the woman has a monthly menses that is in operation every day of life that she takes a breath. And this monthly menses is all about being a woman and being a mother. And it is my firm belief that today's woman is going to have to make a new decision about who she is and what she is. Are you going to be a mother, or are you going to try to carry the ball with the men out on the playing field? Well, let me tell you, actually, the men don't want you on their playing field. They don't want you as their boss. They don't want you in competition with them for the wages. They don't want you in the boardroom. They don't want you on the battlefield with them. You know, a man is raised by a woman, his mother. A man needs to have this type of love, that unconditional love of a mother in the form of a woman who can also become a mother and give him a child. The men want what this young man who was on the radio program wanted. I wish my wife could stay home and take care of me and my child. And in this wistful plea, he was also calling out for her to be his wife and to take care of him and his home and to be happy with his hunting and gathering and make a nest for him and his child in a warm and a safe and a loving place for him to come home to. But boy, his wife adamantly defended her position to have freedom to pursue her career. She didn't seem to even be connected to him or to their home or to their child at all. She seemed to be focused and centered upon this career she had chosen. And I'm going to say that her defense was connected to a guilt deep inside of her that is connected to her monthly menses cycle that screams for her to be a mother. What is happening with these career women today is that they do have children because that primordial reproduction system cries out and deep down inside of the woman is actually the need to reproduce. Her entire female system is geared to reproduction. That reproductive harmonial menses sets up a juicy field every month, all ready to receive the sperm of the male and take it to her womb and make a baby. And no matter how much the woman tries to mechanically manipulate her menses with birth control, IUDs, diaphragms, or condoms, the natural urge of the creature is to get pregnant and have a baby. But the Wonder Women of today are pursuing careers and also having babies, and so we're having a whole generation of children today without a mother being raised by daycare workers, and these Wonder Women will wonder why they get breast cancer. Just know that you heard it here. You cannot go against the natural order of things without paying a price. And the price gets bigger every day, and the only winner is the medical profession. They're all dancing all the way to the bank by making millions on cancer. In fact, the third worst story I heard this week is that some doctors here on the West Coast are now suggesting that women have chemotherapy and radiation on their breasts even before there is any indication that they have any cancer in the breast. Now, if that isn't just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard yet. You know, but if women are so fearful, like Angelina Jolie, of getting breast cancer, then they'll probably do it, thereby setting up for sure, conditions that they will get breast cancer. It doesn't make any sense to kill normal tissue in an attempt to keep from having cancer. That normal tissue is full of an intense, intelligent immune system that will keep the breast from getting cancer. Don't kill normal tissue that is able to fight against cancer in ways that the medical profession has no idea about. So next, let's look at the breast. What is its function? Now, the breast is made up of lobules that make milk. And the milk runs through tiny tubes to the nipple. The milk is manufactured through the woman's body, specifically for her child. And there are hormones and enzymes and living cells in the mother's milk that are not in any kind of formula, because mother's milk is created specifically for her child's well-being. And there just hasn't been enough research on how important it is also for the child to be nestled and cuddled by the mother at her breast, as the life force energy of love flows between the mother and the child, and the child is nourished, not just physically, but emotionally and intellectually and spiritually. And we're only going to talk about female children in this talk tonight. We're not going to talk about male children. Because first of all, breast cancer in a male is rare. And secondly, did you know that the milk that a mother makes for a male child is different than the milk that she makes for a female child? So if a female child comes into this world and does not have this natural kind of a start in their life, and there is not this total nourishment and support and sustenance for that female child's well-being, then that child will demonstrate primordial deprivation in her life's pattern. And I believe this primordial deprivation is at the source of all disease, but most especially breast cancer. And the mother who does not breastfeed her child is also at risk for breast cancer. And if the mother of the child does not breastfeed, who does not breastfeed is also a child with a life pattern of primordial deprivation, now she has the double risk to get cancer. Just follow the dots. It's just a simple set of steps to breast cancer. All breast cancer is linked to deprivation of some kind, and it's usually love or money. Not enough love, non-acceptance, prejudice, criticism, condemnation, abandonment, lack of respect, betrayed love, backstabbing love, abusive love, broken vows, adultery, affairs, lack of self-love, feeling guilty, feeling shame, feeling unlovable. All deprivation of love creates breast cancer. And also lack of financial support, not enough money, fear of losing your home, bill collectors, credit card debt, repossessions, any deprivation in the overall supply of our basic female needs as a person, food, clothing, and shelter today. Now, remember last week we said that all disease starts with a blip on the brain that is attached to an organ or an organ system. And deprivation of love or money in our lives sends that blip directly to the breast, because the breast is the organ for nourishment, love, and support of the human life. The cause is an emotional conflict trauma of some sort. You know what it is. You can go directly to that moment when you felt that lack, when you felt that sting of love unrequited, or love betrayed, or love rejected, or love abused, or love conflicted. When you felt that deprivation in your life, and you know that you sent that blip to your brain. But the good news is that you can resolve these emotional conflict traumas and dissolve the blip and never get breast cancer. Oh, I know this sounds ultra simple, but it really is. Now, getting the emotional conflict trauma resolved is not a simple thing, and it could take a lot of therapy. And the therapy would have to start with you wanting to resolve it. Because a lot of people make a life out of just reliving the emotional conflict trauma over and over and over again, making their story. And their story is one of unhappiness, sorrow, and failure, because the only power they feel that they have now is that of being the victim. Their power is being a victim. And some people want to have a sickness so they can blame the sickness and have a set of boundaries to define their existence. Some people find some sort of self-identification with an illness that gives them a sort of self-worth. I know one young woman who was just diagnosed with MS, and she proudly announced that she now has to take a shot every Friday that costs $1,000. Like this finally gave her some sense of value. Many times a person develops an illness which can make them eligible for Social Security disability so they don't have to work. There was a young girl on Judge Judy this last week who was 23 years old, and she was suing a school that had provided classes to learn how to do professional makeup. And she said she didn't learn anything, and she wanted her $3,000 back. So Judge Judy asked her where she got the $3,000 in the first place. And the woman said she was on a Social Security disability. So Judge Judy asked her what was wrong with her, and she said she had lupus. So Judge Judy said, well, how were you able to save $3,000 from your Social Security disability to pay for this school? And the girl said, well, I'm also going to college, and I have student loans. So Judge Judy asked her how much her student loans were. And she said she had received $230,000 in student loans over the 7 years that she had been going to school. And here, Judge Judy practically came off the bench in a rage. You mean to tell me, young lady, that you've been living off of the government now for 7 years? How far along are you in your college education? And the girl said she had completed about 2.5 years so far, and that's why she wanted to try the cosmetic school to try to find something that she liked to do. Well, Judge Judy said, the money you paid to the cosmetic school was my money. I work and I pay taxes, which have been loaned to you by the U.S. government to get a college education. And I will tell you what I told my grandson. It takes 4 years to get a college education. 4 years, not 7 years, to do 2.5 years of college credit. Judge Judy did not give her any money back, and her claim was denied. Now, this is a classic example of a woman with primordial deprivation for love. Lupus is an autoimmune disease where the body attacks itself. And this girl was very overweight as well, a signal that she uses food for reasons other than physical nourishment. She's a desperate person with a basic foundational lack of love in her life. I wonder if she was raised by daycare workers. 23 years old with lupus, overweight and extremely needy, no boyfriend, and a monthly menses cycle that is screaming for her to have a baby. She certainly is a prime candidate to eventually have breast cancer. So if you want to make sure you never get breast cancer, you would need to be willing to go into many of your experiences and do some releasing and clearing out of old ideas, old feelings, old emotions that are no longer serving you. It's possible to actually even go back into the womb and deal with original signals that were sent to the embryo by the mother. It's possible to actually recreate a whole new childhood for yourself that is full of love and support, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and physical nourishment, a mother and a father who desired you, who planned to have you, who loved you, and provided you with all of your basic needs as a human creature. You were breastfed for 2 years by a mother who stayed at home and took total care of your every need. And you were given many opportunities to seek and prepare for your purpose in this life. If you were in any form of primordial deprivation in your childhood, you could start right now to create a whole different childhood for yourself. Make it your intention to start right now. Be as expansive as you possibly can. When I created my childhood, I took the childhood of Paris Hilton. You can make your childhood whatever it is possible for you to conceive. Take it to the limit and clear out all of that deprivation that has put the blips on your female brain that are attached to your breast so they will dissolve. If you've been listening to my show for a while, you know that I have gone into a deep evaluation of my whole life. And I have realigned myself with a lot of positive ideas and cosmic truths that have cleared out all that negative stuff from my past. And recently I had a very visual look at this because my webpage, www.marcyann.com, had a breakdown. And my server for the webpage had to actually go into my own personal computer and clear out a bunch of old HTML text files that were corrupt and were continuing to corrupt my web page online. So for 2 days, my server logged onto my personal computer and steadfastly, line by line, they purged my personal computer of these corrupt HTML text files. Delete, 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 delete. I watched this process in amazement. I realized that what I was seeing is exactly what happens when we begin to work with a life coach and we deal with all of those old corrupt text files in our brain. And we delete, 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 delete. I guess seeing my computer be cleared out like that has made me realize just how much clearing I have done to dissolve all of those old blips on my brain from all of the emotional conflict traumas of my past. And you can too. Let me just speak to you as kindly as I can. I don't want you to have breast cancer. You don't have to have any disease or distress in your life. You can clear out all that gluck and those corrupt text files, those blips on your brain. I can tell you that if you will make up your mind to begin this journey to freedom, you will create a whole new life for yourself that will be exceedingly abundant, more than you could have ever thought of or asked for. I promise you that. it might be that every single thing in your life will change. It might be that only one thing in your life will change. But I can guarantee you that something is going to change, and it'll be a change for good, for your highest and best good. And all journeys just start with one step, and that one step today could be starting a coaching session with a life coach to resolve just one issue in your life. If you start with just one thing, this will reveal to you then what the next step would be, because we just can do this one step at a time. Easy does it. Be gentle with yourself. Allow yourself to very carefully enter into old dilemmas and see a new way to handle it. Forgive, release, and restore calmness and serenity and security and trust and respect and love into your life. And then just let the chips fall where they may. What's important is only what is important for you. You do what you need to do for you, and everybody else in this scenario will act accordingly. Some will change, some will stay, some will just leave. All things will work out, and you will end up not having breast cancer. I know we have only scratched the surface on this show tonight. We've just touched on some very basic foundations. This is such a big subject, we couldn't possibly go over all of it in only 30 to 45 minutes. But if you do get the idea that all breast cancer has an emotional cause and that you have the power to dissolve that emotional trauma and dissolve it and never get breast cancer, then we have made a really good start here. And I would like to end my show tonight with a meditation by Dr. Deepak Chopra. It's called the Soul of Healing Meditation. And I've been doing this meditation now for years and years. You could perhaps order this CD from Dr. Chopra's website, although the last time I looked for it, I couldn't find it, because I've had this CD for a long, long time, so I don't know if he still is selling it. However, you can record it off of this program and use it every day for your own results. And I'm going to play it for you now.
Find a comfortable position, sitting with your feet on the ground and your palms in your lap, facing upward. Close your eyes and begin simply witnessing your breath. Observe the inflow and outflow of your breath without attempting to control it in any way. You may find that your breathing spontaneously becomes faster or slower, or shallow, and may even pause for a time. Allow the changes to occur without resistance or anticipation. Whenever your attention drifts away from your breath to a thought in your mind, a sensation in your body, or a sound in your environment, gently return your awareness to your breathing. Continue with this breathing awareness meditation for about 5 minutes. Experience gratitude in your heart by considering all the things in your life for which you are grateful. Think about the people in your life that you love and the people who share their love with you. Spend a few minutes now reviewing the gifts in your life for which you are appreciative. Thank you. basic emotions from your heart. Every decision I make is a choice between a grievance and a miracle. I relinquish all regrets, grievances, and resentments. Thank you. of light to that location and let it pulsate with love, knowingness, and bliss. Love, knowingness, and bliss. Love, knowingness, and bliss. As a point of light pulsating in your heart. Love, knowingness, and bliss. As a point of light, either pulsating in your heart or now in a different location where you wish to bring about the process of healing. Love, knowingness, bliss. Love, knowingness, bliss. Love, knowingness, bliss. Love, knowingness, bliss. Sat, Chit, Anand. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Love, knowingness, bliss. Love, knowingness, bliss. Love, knowingness,
are working according to the divine blueprint and are filled with love, knowingness, and bliss. Love, knowingness, and bliss. You know, my body is so accustomed to hearing these words, it just shifts into automatic and just starts fixing everything. And if you just started doing this one thing, just speaking these words into your cells of your body, and seeing that there was only love, knowingness, and bliss in yourself, then you're not going to get breast cancer. You will cut down your chances of getting breast cancer by 100%. And as you continue to eliminate and more old, corrupt HTML texts that have sent bullets to your brain, you can dissolve every single one of those and eliminate all chances of you ever getting breast cancer. I can guarantee you this. So thank you for listening tonight. I've discussed some somewhat controversial things. I know I have. But I'm putting them out there in a fashion for us to have a dialogue, to think about, to consider and reconsider, and just see where we are today and if we want to keep going on this path that we're on, or if maybe we need to take another look. So this is Marcy Ann. I'm going to say aloha. Aloha in the Hawaiian language is such a wonderful word. It means hello and goodbye. I miss you, I love you, I'm sorry. It's all aspects of loving and being loved. And my music is by visionarymusic.com, music designed to help support us in all any and all transformational events in our life. And until next week at this same time, this is Marcy Ann saying aloha.